Thank you, EJ. Thank you. Yes, five human languages was my choice. Just seemed, I don't know, more useful in the long run, probably. Thank you so much, Kate and Jessica. That was awesome. That was so encouraging for me to hear, even just someone who has been part of our ministry and then sent out and living for the kingdom. That was great for my heart, personally, as a pastor here. As EJ said, we are continuing our series. We're actually wrapping it up today, our impacting series, part three of three today. And I'm excited to share with you all this message. Welcome. It matters that you're here. We're excited that you're here. So a little fun story about our family. We have actually been working through the Lord of the Rings trilogy recently. Yes, all 4 hours of extended edition glory. We're making our way through. A couple of us, I won't say who, have stayed awake the whole time. Not everyone. It takes a commitment. But it's been really speaking to me, or in the language of the today, I've been really vibing with the movies. For this message, I was like, oh my goodness, the Two Towers, the plot of this movie is so the gospel. It was just I don't know. I don't know if it's just me. I don't know if others felt that way. I want you to think about, because the movie is basically the plot builds to when the people of Rohan decide to go to Helm's Deep, which is this like mountain fortress, because they're under attack, and it's this place of safety that they think is the only place they'll be safe, but it's really a trap. It's a trap of their own making. There's only one way in and one way out, and then they're surrounded by the enemy forces. And so I want you to think about that feeling of being trapped with no escape, and what that's like, and how challenging that is, and how often we can feel that way in this life, and how often sin actually makes us feel that way as well. So, but let's pray, and then we'll get into more of our message. Lord, I invite you into this space. We invite you in, Holy Spirit, to speak to us. Speak to us through your word. Challenge us. Help us. Lord, we are trapped by sin, and we need you. Jesus is our Savior. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. If you've got a Bible, you can turn to Romans 10. It'll be on the screen if you don't have one. If you'd like one, we've got free ones at the info desk. You're welcome to grab anytime. Romans chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 9. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame. Oh, what a beautiful promise. That's from Isaiah 28. Since there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the same Lord of all richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will be saved. And that's a promise from Joel 2. We actually looked at that. I don't know if you guys can remember all the way back to fall semester when we did our Acts series. I had the privilege of speaking on that verse. And it was Peter's first sermon after Jesus' life, death, and resurrection and ascension. That's what he chose to speak from. That everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so from Jesus to Peter to Paul now, who wrote Romans, they all equate the name of the Lord, Yahweh, with the name of Jesus, which is so significant, you all. Is saying that Jesus is more than just a man. He was the Son of God. He was divinity himself, second member of the Trinity. And it's his name that we need to call on for salvation. If we look at that verse in Isaiah 28, if we turn to that, Isaiah 28, verse 16, it says, therefore the Lord God said, look, I have laid a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, the one who believes will be unshakable or unashamed. And what that's alluding to there is when they would build buildings in their time, they would always start with a cornerstone. You would start with the stone in the corner, and they would build out from there. And that was the most important stone. It had to be just right, or else your building would be off, and it wouldn't last as long. It wouldn't be as secure. And I had the privilege of actually seeing this cornerstone at the temple in Jerusalem, and it's huge. It's like almost the size of this stage, and about two or three times my height. Okay, it's a huge stone. That was the cornerstone. That was the analogy of the Messiah or Jesus. And he is this perfect, precious cornerstone that we can trust in, that if we build our lives upon him, everything will be secure and will be firm and safe. I love that. I love that picture. And that's what Paul has alluded to, what he's reminding them to. And he's saying that Jesus is our salvation and the end of shame. Jesus is our salvation and the end of shame. What a beautiful message, right? And it's this joy of our salvation that I really want to talk on here in this first part of our message, because we need to tap into that. We need to remember that. It's so easy to lose sight of that or to fall into the trap of sin and just feel trapped. In Helm's Deep, Legolas, who is this like very cheery elf, he's got a very positive disposition, begins to lose hope and he begins to despair. And he says, it's 300 versus 10,000 out there. We don't stand a chance of winning. Everyone here is going to die. And it's just like, oh my goodness, if he's losing hope, then everyone, what hope do we have? And yet, where is our hope found? It's found in Jesus, right? Now, if you remember, the end of that movie is when Gandalf tells him, on the morning of the fifth day, on the light of the fifth day, look for my coming. Look to the east where I will be. And then when they're kind of, it seems like all hope is lost, they look to the east and there's this bright light and it's Gandalf, who's this like Messiah, Jesus, for he died and come back from the dead. That's where they're hoping. That's where Jesus' salvation, Jesus is the source of our salvation and the end of shame. Do you remember that? Do you remember that and reflect on that? Do you remain in the gospel? It is so good and so powerful. Just a couple weeks ago, I got a message from a friend who leads another ministry, and she was saying that she was ministering to a young woman, and this woman was just really struggling with feeling like, I can't earn God's grace. And she said, no. And she had this message, Phil, she got from the Lord that I am made perfect through the cross alone. Made perfect through the cross alone. And she shared that with her. She said, I can't say that. I don't believe that. I said, grace isn't something you earn. You can't earn God's grace. It's a free gift. Salvation is a gift through Jesus alone. And it finally clicked for this young gal, and she prayed to receive the free gift of salvation with this woman. Though she'd grown up in the church and Christian school and never heard the gospel in that way, and we got a new sister that day, a couple weeks ago, added to the faith, which is so awesome and so powerful. So do you reflect on, do you remember the joy of your salvation? Remember it. Remain in the gospel. We talk about that in our discipleship pathway. It's so important to remain in the gospel, to share the gospel with one another. See, the gospel is the answer to all the world's problems. It's like the cure for cancer or COVID or loneliness or depression or any mental health or any issue or problem, all rolled into one. And Jesus says, here. It's yours. I want you to have this and experience salvation and the end of all shame. A beautiful message, right? That we've been given. And so that sense of being trapped in this mountain fortress, we're freed from that, which is so good and so beautiful. But we can't just stop there, because there's more that we're called to, and that's what we get to in the next part of our passage. Romans 10, verse 14, it says, how then can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Which is another quote from Isaiah, which we'll get to. But I wanted to just address real quickly that preach thing that he says there. It doesn't necessarily mean like someone who's on stage on a Sunday morning preaching, like I'm doing right now, I guess. That word for preach is just another word for like herald, and a herald is someone who's been given a message from someone in authority, okay? And we've all been given this message from Jesus, and we are sent, as this passage is saying. So it's just like the verse on the wall, as Kate pointed out, therefore, go make disciples of all nations. And if you call yourself a disciple of Jesus, we have all been called to this, to be a herald, to share this message with others. That passage in Isaiah is Isaiah verse 52:7. It says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the herald who proclaims peace, who brings good news, who brings news of good things, who proclaims salvation, and who says to Zion, our God reigns." And it's this picture of having, being stuck, being trapped, and then all of a sudden a messenger comes over the mountains with good news, that deliverance is coming. It's like Gandalf, right? He's coming, he's saying, deliverance is coming. It's actually the exile riders of Rohan, because there was a rift between the king and his nephew, and the nephew left, and he took most of the warriors with him. You know, long story short, you know, the king, it was Wormtongue, and, you know, he got, you know, under the spell, and Gandalf had to free him from it, and but anyways, he didn't want to send and ask for help, but Gandalf went and got them anyway. Sorry if I ruined the movie for you. It's very old, so I don't feel that bad. So that hope that we're given is because there are messengers, there are people who have come, who have shared the message. You see, the gospel isn't something that we can just come to on our own. It's something that was passed on from Jesus to Peter to Paul to each subsequent generation of disciples that are sent with that message, that are sent like people all over those mountain passes looking for those who are trapped in sin to share this message of freedom with them that we're called to, that we're called to share. How can they believe unless they hear? And how can they hear unless someone shares it with them? And how can they share unless they're sent? That is us. All of us are sent out into the world. We're like those exile riders of Rohan, looking and answering those calls for help. Our passage ends by communicating this. Romans 10, verse 16. It says, "But not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message?" That's from Isaiah 53, implying that not all have believed it. So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. You see, I love Paul's honesty. Not all are going to believe. But remember, faith still comes from hearing the message. Not all are going to believe. So when we take this message out into the world, expect resistance. Don't be surprised by it. Expect people to reject it, to not believe it. And I don't know, I can wrestle with that, right? Like, I think that's one of the big reasons people don't share the gospel with others, is we're just afraid of how people are going to react. Or we're going to be labeled as proselytizers or bigoted or whatever. You know, if you're sharing this message and Jesus is the name upon which we need to call to be saved and him alone, that's a strong message, right? And I don't know about you, but to me, that can sound more like when Jay talked about the feet that bring bloodshed, right? Like the feet that are causing harm as opposed to bringing good. And so that can create a tremendous amount of fear or resistance or hesitation, I think, to be those messengers sent out into the world. But what if it's the opposite? What if it isn't those feet that bring bloodshed, but the feet that bring good news? That we're transformed into these feet that bring good news of the gospel message. That word for beautiful in front of feet in that Isaiah passage can also be translated welcome or timely. So God has called us to bring this welcome or timely message to those who need it. Welcome or timely message to those who need it. Not everyone, but we ought to have our eyes up and our ears open and looking for those opportunities to share this message of hope with those who are trapped in sin, who can find freedom in Jesus alone. I've shared the gospel over the course of, you know, my 20 years of ministry and a few years in college before that many times. And probably not as many as I could have. There's times where I've shrunk back as well. And a lot of times people kind of usually nicely say, no thanks, ultimately. But there's been a number of people who have said, thank you for sharing this. What do I do next? What must I do to be saved? And then we pray together. Sometimes right then, sometimes it takes years down the road. And And it leads to amazing relationships. See, the feet that bring bloodshed, that's an end to relationship, right? But the feet that bring good news is a new beginning. It's an invitation to live together, live sent together, to do life together, to be disciples under Jesus' feet together. And it's beautiful and amazing and powerful. So I want to wrap up with a couple of things here today. One is I want to ask you all to maybe take out your phone. I know, I'm pretty sure this is a risky thing to do. Take out your phone, or if you're taking notes, you can write this down. I want you to consider writing down just one sentence, okay? And it's, think about what Jesus has saved you from and who he's transformed you into, okay? I grew up with a tremendous amount of dysfunction in my family. There was a lot of fear. I just grew up so afraid. There was violence in my home, and it was horrible. And so I think for me, I would write, Jesus has saved me from being afraid to being secure. And think about what that might be for you. Maybe it's from loneliness to community, or from hopelessness to a life of purpose. And if you jot that down, see that as this is like a 30-second testimony opportunity to share the gospel with someone. And just have it in your back pocket. I mean, your phone is usually in a pocket or a purse or a man satchel, as I have sometimes, those crossbody bags. That wasn't part of my notes. I'm digressing here a little bit. And you can share that with others. Like when someone is sharing with you, man, I'm just struggling, or this seems hopeless, or this world is horrible. Can I share with you my source of hope in this world? And this is my story. I grew up with so much dysfunction and so much fear, and I met Jesus, and I experienced his forgiveness, and I have so much security now and hope. That's all it takes. We did a practice run of this at my North Campus Bursley home group this week, and I was paired up with Daniel, and we were sharing our testimonies with each other, and it was super encouraging for me. And I've done this, like, I don't know, 50, 100 times, and each time it's so encouraging to hear someone else's story and how God has moved. And it's encouraging to share your own as well. It's, again, it's tapping into the joy of our salvation. And we need to tap into that. We need to remain in the gospel. That's what ought to fuel us to share our faith. Don't do this because I'm telling you to do it. Please don't. That's not going to last very long. Do this because you're reflecting on all Jesus has done, and you can't help but want others to experience that as well with your life, okay? Let me end by sharing, humor me a little bit maybe, but this is what Sam says to Frodo at the end of Two Towers. It's like in the great stories, the ones that really mattered, full of darkness and danger they were, and sometimes you didn't want to know the end, but in the end, it's only a passing thing, this shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come. And when the sun shines, it will shine out the clearer. Those are the stories that stayed with you. That meant something, even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going because they were holding on to something. What were they holding on to, Sam? That there's some good in this world, and it's worth fighting for. There's some good in this world, and it's worth fighting for. That good is Jesus, you all. That good is Jesus, and he is worth fighting for. And so are the people in this world that are trapped and have no hope apart from him. So let's take this message that we have, this message of hope, with beautiful feet and share this good news with those around us. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you, we thank you, we worship you for all that you've done in our lives. You are good, you are so good, and you are so worth fighting for. We love you. We lift up these things by the power of your name. Amen. Amen.